How can the church be more digitally relevant in today's world? Find out in a second, because it's time.
You're listening to the Church Digital Sidekick Podcast, part of the TCD Podcast Network.
Hey, heroes, my name is Tom Pounder, and this is the Church Digital Sidekick Podcast. This is the podcast where I bring on ministry leaders, and we talk about how you can be more effective in this very digital and online world. And today I have a new guest, a guest that I've gotten to recently get to know over the past few months. Her name is Vernette John-Joyles, and she, well, I'm actually not going to tell you where she's from. I'm going to let her tell you where she's from because I'm excited. It's a new person that I get to talk to, and she is passionate about church. She's passionate about digital, and she's passionate about bringing the two of them together. So what does it look like for us to help make the church more digitally relevant in today's world? That's what we talk about, so I'm really excited to have her on the podcast. But before she gets on, I do want to highlight the Church Digital. At the church.digital, we have tons of resources for you to grow your online ministry, whether it's digital, online, whether it is metaverse ministry. We've got coaches, we've got cohorts, we've got blogs, we've got podcasts, all designed to help you be more effective in this digital and online world today. So if you've never checked out the Church Digital, go to it. It's the church.digital, and you can find it on the website. We've got tons of resources there for you to grow in your online ministry. All right, so without any further ado, let's get into the interview right now with Vernette. All right, with me right now is Vernette John-Joyles. Vernette, how are you?
I'm good. I am very, very good, Tom. Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I am doing good. It's a little bit earlier in the day for me than it is for you. Yeah. I will say this is exciting for me because you are my first guest that is not from America. You are
nice.
From, and people could probably pick up the accent by now, but you are from England. So tell people a little bit about yourself and what do you do and how did you get started?
Sure. Okay. So as you said, I'm from the blessed UK, as it were. So I live within the UK. I live in Essex, which is actually just outside of London, for those who are not familiar with it. So I am, by trade, I'm a digital consultant. I've been a business owner for probably more years than I realize, actually, kind of thing. When I think about it and someone says, how long have you been in business? And I'm feeling like, oh, it's only been a couple of years. And actually, it's probably closer to over a decade or so. I've just done different things in my entrepreneurial journey. So that's what I do in terms of my day job. But apart from that, I am a pastor for my church, Kingdom Life Movement, which is something that is established with my husband. So we have a ministry that has a heavy discipleship focus, we like to think anyway. Mm-hmm. I think that I... sometimes when it comes to these matters, I call myself like a discipleship purist in that, you know, all of the issues with the body of Christ can be solved with discipleship. That's always going to be like my go-to. You're like, don't worry, it's just a joke. I don't actually think that. So that's what I do in terms of that side. And then in terms of digging into digital, which is something that I felt that the Lord led me to set up, which was basically to take all of my knowledge that I've gained over the years in the commercial sense and actually bring it to the body of Christ. So the idea behind it is that, as you've seen also as well, like we are very much in a digital phase or digital space in the world now. And I want to be able to be part of the answer to help the church to acclimate to this and what this actually means for us. I know that a lot of us as church leaders or leaders of ministries and so on, we're very familiar with social media. In fact, social media is a headache for a lot of us. Let's actually just say as it is, it's a headache. But the digital space is much more than that. It's about impacting the way that we do things. It's impacting the way that we can also influence those that we say would follow us in our churches and our ministry. So that's what I'm trying to hopefully bring digging into digital as being to be that resource to leaders to help them, because not everybody likes it like I do. One of my I refer to some of the young ladies at my church as chicken heads. And one of my chicken heads said to me that I'm the most digitally enhanced woman that she knows. And it's never left me. So I do enjoy this space. It's something that's just, it's just there. I'm very inquisitive about it. So I just want to be able to, as I say, just help leaders, help us to kind of be more innovative and just move on with the times, really. So that's me.
That's awesome. Okay, so a quick little follow-up question is that I remember for me, one of the things that got me interested in technology and computers was I remember I was in elementary school and they had this computer club. And, you know, we've already discussed this off air. I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember we had an Apple II in this school, and we had this computer club, and we learned about the computer and stuff, and that was brand new for all of us. And so that got me kind of started on my journey of I like this stuff. What was it that got you interested in digital and technology?
I'm gonna say I maybe have a similar journey like you. So actually my dad, this was when I was about, my earliest memory is probably like when I was 5 or 6 actually. So I'm going back to the days of DOS, like when you turned on a computer,
yes,
the black screen with the white text or the green text. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to play games, you had to type in a command, then you had to wait, yes. had to wait. 20 minutes, 30 minutes for this game to load. And if the countdown thing didn't do it right, then that was like 20 minutes of your life gone. Have to start all over again. But in him actually bringing one of those computers in, it came with a manual so you could actually learn how to do little functions and things. So I can remember as early as maybe 6 years old, actually using that manual to type and to do my first programming, if you like.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually what I would say. Well, I have been saying more recently, because it only actually really came to me in recent months that's probably what the beginning of all this was. I've always been this way inclined, but I can remember having that computer in the house. And I was actually telling someone the other day that we used to use the computer for games. Mm-hmm. And my dad, that I used to sit with him and we'd play this Pac-Man game. But back, this was before memory cards and things, right? Mm-hmm. So in order for you to save your progress, there was no saving progress. You just had to pause the game. Yeah. And I can remember my dad going off to work. He used to be like a driver for London Underground here. This was years ago. He'd press pause on the thing and then he'd be gone on a 12-hour shift. And I'm sitting there like... because I want to play the game, right?
Yeah.
And you can't touch it, because if I unpaused it, then he'd get up on this high level, I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
He's going to come back and he's going to knock me out, basically, right? So that's what I would say it was. And then from there, I was just very inquisitive with electronics and that side of things. So I really wasn't, the typical female, if you like, in terms of what I was interested in. I was a reader. I also like to take stuff apart. So I had just that inquisitive mind. So it kind of steered me a little bit into engineering at some point in my educational history. But that's always been my inclination. I think that's where it actually started from when I was about 6 years old, I want to say.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I don't think kids today will ever be able to know the world that we lived in, with the early stages of personal computers. Okay, so let's get into our conversation or discussion today, because you and I met through a mutual friend, Jeff Reed, and you've actually contributed an article for the Church Digital blog, and you've got more in the pipeline too that I'm really excited about because of your passion for digital. And I think you marry the ministry and the digital so well together, and I love your passion for that. And unfortunately, this is my perspective, and I'd love to hear your perspective, at least especially from the UK. But in America, I felt like we embraced digital a lot during COVID. And then now that we've gone back in person, people have started to say, oh, we don't necessarily need to do that. But you have married the two together so well. What is that like for you guys over there? And talk to me a little bit about your passion for bringing digital and ministry together.
Sure. It's the same sort of pattern what you're describing, in that one of the effects of COVID, if you like, is that we were forced, many of us, where if we didn't have a focus on digital before, if you like, we were forced now to acclimate to these things. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, when we actually, were released from that period and trying to get back to what we know as normality, yes, it was like, okay, let's do away with that. But I think the issue is that I want to say, on a governmental level, the government have not left that space. Mm. And so what we may find that we maybe wanted to revert to before, before COVID on a governmental level, they're thinking, no, we want more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things that kind of made me think, well, the church needs to actually start to think about that. The body of Christ needs to think about that. So just as an example, not that I'm saying that everything happened because of COVID, there were things that were being brought in over a course of time, like a steady drip of water in a sense, in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, now we can no longer, for example, you know, they want to encourage us to pay our bills online now and use apps. And whereas, you know, way back when you might maybe go down to your local service provider, wherever, and pay in cash, there's been this steady push towards mm-hmm. doing things more digitally. And I think that because of what happened with COVID, I think that on a governmental level, it was seeing what could be done, in that there's a level of functioning that we could have
mm-hmm.
That actually the government might be like, no, we don't really want to go back to where we were before. And so from a body of Christ point of view, what's kind of started to trigger me off about that is, don't get me wrong, as much as I enjoy the digital space, I'm not all the way sold out. There's still some things that I want to do manually, if you like. So I know where my borders are with mm-hmm. it, right? But I think that I'm interested in how the church maintains its relevance in this space that we're in. Because as much as, yes, there are certain things that, you know, the digital space is not meant to do, I think that there's a whole heap that we are missing out on. And in a way, when we're now trying to talk about wanting to share the gospel, wanting to connect with people, wanting to disciple and all those kind of things, relevance is going to be important. So mm-hmm. number one, obviously, we're doing the, you know, the core commission in terms of what Christ told us to do. But then there's so much around that in terms of, you know, developing people to mature in their faith and wanting to be involved in different areas of their life, and then also how they impact other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the digital space is one of them. It's actually quite poor. And I just find that the impression that I get, I'm not saying that I've spoken to thousands and thousands of people, but the impression that I get is that there is still a resistance to it. Whereas actually, when we look around us from a, as I say, from a government point of view, societal point of view, this is where we're going. So we should also be able to be in these spaces as well, to have a seat at the table to say, hey, we know what's going on. We know we don't have to know everything, but just actually saying that, yeah, this is where, not only where the society is at, but the people that we're trying to reach, this is where mm-hmm. they're going to be at as well.
Yeah, see, I think I'm like you on a lot of levels too, is like, I love this digital space and I'm geared toward this. But I need in-person interaction. I need, you know, community within actual people. If I was just on my computer all day, all the time, talking with people, while that would be nice, I need that human interaction that I'm missing. And what I like about what you said too is that, you know, with the government adapting all these things, I don't know about you. I still write paper checks. So, but here's the deal. I started transitioning before COVID. I was always paper checks, but since then I started doing my bills online. At first I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I've become comfortable with that.
Yeah,
And then I also like to point out to like people like my dad, who's well in his 70s, before COVID, he had never done a Zoom call. Before, and in fact he didn't even have a smartphone until my mom passed away years ago, and he just took her smartphone and started using it. And but the thing about him is that I think people say that the people who are naysayers in this space say, oh, the older generations can't adapt and can't learn this, and I'm like, my that's not true. My dad adapted really quickly, and to this day he's still on Zoom calls every other day doing
that's
Bible
it.
Studies and connecting with other people. And so let's dig into this a little bit more. About you talked about how you want the church and being relevant, digitally relevant. What does that look like for you? What can we be doing?
Well, to kind of give maybe a bit of context. So one of the things that we perhaps maybe have seen over recent years, particularly here in the UK, is just how much people actually have a desire to start businesses. There's very much an entrepreneurial sort of thing that's around here in the UK. Different people want to try different things.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding that maybe the whole concept of the lifelong job, that's starting to decline a little bit, and people want to maybe look to doing other fulfilling things. And sometimes that comes under the banner of being an entrepreneur, starting business, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I very much believe that the body of Christ should be able to speak to that, because it's something that when you are dealing with people, whether or not you are specifically discipling someone or just having people that are just coming amongst you in your church, you're going to want to know, so what do you do? What are you interested in? What is it that you like doing? And then as you go further along, you know, we should be asking, okay, so now that you've been born again, for example, like, how do you feel that God is leading you to do certain things and move and all that kind of stuff? And one of those areas will be through entrepreneurialism. I believe that God is giving people answers in terms of different, you know, if you like, kingdom businesses that we should be establishing. I believe that that's definitely on God's mind for us. And so my thing is that I feel that the body of Christ, that we should be able to speak to those things, because how we do business, say, I'm going to say even 10 years ago, is very different now. You've got people that are launching businesses on social media, for example. Mm-hmm. They can start like a small something. People now are having to learn more about what it is to manage their own websites, whereas previously you maybe had a specific website designer, but you're seeing that there's more solutions to help people do that. And I just believe that actually that's part of our relevance, is that how can we speak to some of these things where, you know, in terms of just the area of work, things are changing. And we should be able to show, you know, obviously where what the Bible says about the virtue of work and being able to produce and things like that. And but it shouldn't just be, it shouldn't just be according to just biblical narrative. There should be application for where we are now. So that's just one way that I kind of look at the body of Christ, and I think there's going to be so much changes in terms of what work looks like, particularly here in the UK. There's actually so much going on, even just what contracts look like now. So much has changed. So apart from obviously wanting to pray for people that their needs are met and provision and all that kind of stuff, I believe that we should also be able to speak practically to say, here, look, if we can't provide the training for you, then we know someone else that can help you in terms of doing business digitally, for example, or you know, we kind of see that, you know what, you maybe should be in this space. So here, we're going to help you. We're going to set you up with, you know, having some domain names. We're going to give you those. We're going to kind of show you the things that you need to start. And that's part of educating us so that as Christian followers, we can actually be assets wherever we go.
I love that, actually, because I think about, I've heard that, you know, this era that we're in is kind of like the gig economy, that people are doing different jobs and stuff, and they want that fulfillment. They want that excitement. Yeah. And again, a lot of people poo-poo on the influencer culture that we have, but I think today people are finding passion and excitement in areas that weren't available, like you said, 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And so what are we doing as a church to kind of help do that? I like to think about, too, that before COVID, a lot of our churches didn't have live stream teams or other ministry teams focused around digital. And then because there were needs there, we had service opportunities for people to do and participate in, because not everybody wants to hold a baby or help out with the youth group.
This is it. Yeah.
And so we had this digital element there. And I like what you're saying about that, of really being there to support with the entrepreneurs of the world. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, because we can, I talk about this a lot, and I say that, you know, we can all have a sensing in terms of, you know, whether you want to use purpose or destiny, whichever term you want to use, in terms of like, well, God, what would you have me to do? And if there was someone, and I've even, no, let me actually say, I've actually had this where someone's actually approached and said, actually, I want to be able to start a business. I want to take this particular gifting or this talent that I have. I want to be able to command an income for myself. Okay. So because of obviously my background, this is sort of like I live and breathe this. So I'm able to say, right, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. And actually, this is where you can go to learn more about this. I'm not doing the homework for them, obviously, but I'm able to signpost. Mm-hmm. Or I'm able to say, look, I've got this for you. I can do this. I can give you access to my subscriptions to help you to develop branding, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when that person came to me, it's like sometimes you can have people that have leanings and inclinations and they don't know what to do next. And so it's all right if, you know, we can sort of like even say to our young people, what do you think you're going to do? Well, go to university. That's like a thing that we have over here too, mm-hmm. is that go and educate someone. That I don't have a problem with that because I've been to university myself. But I think that our influence needs to now start to be wider and broader. We now need to look at what's going on around us, even in the job space as well. Like, unfortunately, there's going to be such a significant change in the structure of jobs in terms of what the role that you maybe took when you joined 2 years ago and now what they want you to do. And if you can't do it, then they're now going to be looking for people that can. So even the whole concept of, are we upskilling ourselves so that we can stay relevant in our spaces as well? Those are the things that I think that we should start being able to speak to more so that actually we're equipping people for life in these times. That's what's undergirding it for me, is that there's going to be so many changes. We are going to have to be a bit more adaptable and all the rest of it. But yeah, I definitely see that because of this hesitancy for the body of Christ and particularly leaders to see where we are and see, okay, what can we embrace? I'm not saying you have to embrace everything, but what can we embrace? What can we start to educate ourselves with so that when we're now speaking to those we're discipling or whoever, we can say, yes, we can actually help you in this. We can train you in this. We can give some information in this and so on.
I really love that because I as you're talking, I keep on thinking, you know, the church has their priorities and their mindset. Like every church is different. They have their focus and priorities and we're held within this lane of sorts. But people are over in this other lane, experiencing other things. And it's instead of us trying to fit everybody in our lane, why don't we come over to their lane and say, how can we help you? How can we support you? I love what you're saying here.
Yeah, it's so, and I think because I think it comes out as part of that discipleship, if you like. If you are actually really trying to, yes, obviously you want people to grow in faith and all, absolutely, that's always a priority, but that's not that's not what we're made of as people, as how God has created us. He's created us to produce. He's created us to do all these other things. So in the same way that we may have a priority that we want to see more young people get married, for example, rather than, just being with people, so then we have a whole ministry, if you like, that's dedicated to that. We have that, for the singles that want to become married, and we do all of that. Or we say, for the women that we want to encourage them to be more like women, we have women ministries and men's ministries and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that there should be a digital ministry, or maybe there should, who knows? But what I am saying is that based on what's going on at the moment, when we look around us, I can just see that there's a bit of a gap here in terms of understanding that, well, if things on a governmental level are changing and shifting, then why are we not changing and shifting? Why are we not ahead? In fact, I'm going to even be a bit more challenging there, that, we can't, if we try to do checks over here, Tom, do you know there are actually some banks that charge you extra to deposit checks here?
Really?
That's what they're doing now. So there's actually, like, depending on what kind of bank account you have, there will be an additional fee for them to process your check. So they've over here, there's even a lot of places that don't take checks. So if we wanted to go shopping for groceries or something, there's places that don't take checks anymore.
Yeah.
So even those kind of things, it's just okay, come on, leaders, as you say, we have priorities, but if we're saying that we want people to grow and to thrive, particularly when they're not within our church space and all that, one of those areas is going to be how we interact with the digital space for life and for work. And we should be able to speak to those things.
Yeah, that's really important. I definitely don't want to come to the UK and bring my checkbook over. So
no.
definitely won't do that.
it's crazy. You can't do it anymore. I mean, I have like checkbooks, old one. But to go somewhere now and to go into one of our shopping places and say, I want to pay by check, it's either they're looking at you or they just don't have that facility. It's cash, it's card, it's you can't do that anymore. So, that's why I'm saying that for us as the body of Christ, there's things that we're doing that are quite antiquated now, according to the times that we're in. So as you said, there's another way that we term it over here, that we're actually meant to be what we call in the fourth industrial revolution, where it's about tech and it's about digital and it's about all these different kind of things. And I only read about that recently, by the way, Tom, because I'm really not a history person, but I read about that recently and I was like, yeah, this is where we are, body of Christ. This is where we are, leaders. While apart from getting caught up on social media, because I understand why, but apart from that, how are we making sure that the people that are in front of us know how to use these things for life, just a basic function? How do we know that they know how to use things for work? You can't just tell people, you need to go and get a job, you need to go and work, and we don't really know if they're skilled. to do the work that has
right.
more of a digital focus. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this idea. Okay. So keep on with this. How else, what are some other ideas that you have that can help the church be more digitally relevant in today's world?
So at my place, I am also referred to as the tech admin. So I am the person that in my leaders team, they don't really like to talk to me very much. Like whenever we start talking about tech, it's like the eyes glaze over and they okay. kind of follow me like they're under a regime, you know. I say like we're gonna use this tool and they're like, yes, because they're really not interested. But one area that I'm keen about as well is just the principles around productivity and time. Mm-hmm. So I'm a leader in my church. I know other leaders. And one of the things that obviously we're always going to be challenged with is time. Got different competing needs that we need to address and we need to speak to. And again, there are things that we can be doing to learn and to upskill ourselves so that actually the little, what we call minutiae of things, you know, that those are the things that we could actually be looking at. Are there tools that can help us in that regard so that we're not spending, you know, time doing things this way so that we can be more present in terms of, you know, the one-to-one interaction and stuff like that. So because of how we are, I think that a lot of us as leaders don't realize that we're in a time where we're trying to do a lot more in less time, but with the wrong systems.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
We are. But what's happening instead is that we're getting more stressed, or we're not showing up with the same vigor that we used to, because we're trying to do all these things. And sometimes the systems that we're just using are just wrong, or they're just not for this time. Mm-hmm. So for example, at my place, we have team meetings all the time, you know, to discuss things regarding ministry, where we're going, et cetera. Now, back in the day, because I used to work as a minute taker years and years ago, that was when you had to be there with the Word document and you're tapping away, you're noting everyone's actions, and then you still have to go and tidy up the notes and then email to everyone and make sure that everyone's got their notes. And actually, we actually use a tool that just allows everyone to see me making the notes in real time.
Yep.
They can see their actions in real time, and everybody just has access to it all the time, so they can go off and do their bit. So I've cut out that extra step of mm-hmm. having to format it, save it somewhere, email it to everyone. All that extra stuff is now gone. Mm-hmm. So it's just using those kind of things to look at, okay, what are the things that we're doing that we could actually improve? You know, what are the things that we don't need to email that we could be using something else? Or the different passwords that we use for our different, how are you lot storing that stuff? Like I have recently gotten my husband into using a password manager, because he glazes over when I start talking. you get on with it. But in terms of all the different accounts and things that we set mm-hmm. up, password managers, and then allowing people in your team to have access to the password manager, so you don't have to keep emailing, oh, what's the password? All these little niggly things yeah. that can really tip you over when you've got a busy day.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. these are the little things that I'm interested in, that are we willing to kind of start to adapt and evolve yeah. to some of these ways of working. So in the same way that in the workplace, some places at work may even encourage us to use these kind of ways of working. And I see just a lot of crossover there that, but because we're not willing to embrace, then things take longer. And I'm thinking, well, that shouldn't. You could easily have done that in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That wasn't an email. Put that in a tool that everybody has access to. Bang, everybody's got it.
Yeah.
So productivity.
No, that's great. And so my follow-up question is, do you have tools that you would recommend and that you've seen to be effective? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you have some favorite tools that you have?
I do. You don't have enough time, though, you know.
Give me like two or three that you really love right
okay,
now.
Okay, okay. So I've already mentioned one. So one of my favorite tools is Bitwarden. It's a password manager. Because of my business, I have accounts for lots of different things. And to be honest, if I was to keep everything on a post-it note or in a black book, and then you know what it's like with passwords as well, that a lot of things that we log into now, you can't use the same password every time, or they want you to have capital letters and other characters yeah. and so lowercase and all this. And, you know, so what Bitwarden does for me is it just keeps all of my login details in one place, and there's just only one password that I need to remember mm-hmm. to get into that vault. So it's something that you know, bar me falling over and hitting my head, I will not forget this password. And that's what I use. That helps me to move very quickly between the different things that I need to open. So I've actually introduced that to my team as well and said, for all of the passwords that we use for our church ministry, there is a central account for Bitwarden that myself and one other member of the team has access to, so they can get into whatever they need to. Don't need to keep emailing me and phoning me and saying, oh, what's the password for this and that?
Yeah.
So that's my first one. My next one, I've got a really nice one that I'm really interested in. It's called Walling. And it's just a way to, for the visual planners kind of thing, like it's just literally like the concept is almost having a wall with bricks and you can just write on the bricks and you can move stuff around. So when you're trying to maybe like plan things or just got ideas that you just want to be able to commit, literally, it's almost like if you was to put post-it notes on your wall kind of thing, you can use it like that, but you can also share that with other people as well, so they can see what you're doing. And I've actually been using that for another endeavor that I have called Women on the Rise. I've actually been using it to help a couple of women organize what they wanted to do for the whole of 2023. So that's actually been quite interesting, because then they can get to look back and see what they said, what they're supposed to do, set up, you know, a sort of timeline in terms of when they're going to accomplish the task. And then when we meet every quarter, we look back at the last quarter and be like, oh, did you do this, did you do that, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, that kind of thing. So Walling's a really, really nice one. I just find that for people that maybe don't just like to note take and stuff, and they've got, and they see galaxies and things like that, because I'm very logical, I'm not like that, but for the people that are just like, oh gosh, I see this, Walling, really, really good, really, really good for them.
That's awesome. Okay, you're gonna have to send me the links to these a little bit later, because I've never heard of either one of these, and I'm like, this is awesome. So
yes, I will.
Yeah, you'll send me the links, and we'll have them in the show notes so people can just click on them. Okay, as we, I know we're on a little bit of a time crunch here, but as we kind of get ready to wrap up a little bit, are there any other encouragements or other things that you would suggest for churches to become a little bit more digitally relevant today?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it, this is a bit of a tricky one, I suppose, but I think that when it comes to running a church, dealing with people, and obviously just wanting to run with what you may feel is on your heart in terms of what God has given you, I think that part of it, even before we get to the digital thing, is that it's actually okay to actually stop and put the handbrakes up and actually just ask the question that the way that, you know, let me say it on me, like, it's okay for me to put the handbrakes up and say, okay, God, I've been doing this for the last year, 2, 5, 10 years. Is the way that I'm functioning relevant for today or not? Mm-hmm. I think that we have to be willing to ask the question, because sometimes, depending on how driven we are, we can be like, yes, this is the way forward. Or we may look at other things that are happening and think, yeah, we'll have a bit of that, we'll do that. But actually, it's really important. I want to be able to encourage that for us as leaders, that time that we get to spend with God to find out what is the way forward, that should be the first step. So as much as I can sit here all day and I can say, yeah, you know, pick up all these tools, there may be certain things that God may have in mind for where we are now that would then lead you to knowing what is for you. So I think that that's probably more the first step. But I say it's the hard step, because sometimes as a leader, we're so caught up in the day-to-day, it's hard. It's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to be that honest as well. Like, you know, I've not really liked this space. I've been doing this for a while. I've not really liked it. And then you sit down with God and be like, well, yeah, I was trying to tell you back in January. You know, that kind of thing. So that's the first step. The second step, I think, is just more about being willing to be ongoing learners, I would say, because you have to start somewhere. Just in the same way that, okay, I started when I was 6 years old, but there's a lot of people around me that, when I speak to them or they come to me for certain things, my aim is that I don't want them to just rely on me in terms of being that person. I want them to learn for themselves so that they can go forward. So we all have to be willing to start somewhere, I think. So I think that it's actually just for people to actually look around and see what's going on and start to have conversations. So, I mean, yes, I'm here and I'm open to have conversations with people and, you know, signpost them if need be. But I think we just need to be able to look around and actually start to have conversations where we don't know how to do something or, you know, we're not too sure about this. So I think those are really the two steps, if I'm honest with you, is that we, first of all, to pull the handbrakes up, and secondly, to actually want to start to have conversations with others around the thing that we may not know too much about.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think this really applies to ministry as a whole, because, you know, I did youth ministry for a really long time. And I always like to say we never have the right system in place because things are always changing. Teenagers are always changing. Yes. I started doing youth ministry back in 1997. If I did youth ministry in 2021, the same way I was doing it back in 1997, I would have gotten nobody. But we always had to, like what you said, put up the handbrakes and say, are we doing, is this the right way for us to reach teenagers today? In the same way, I think we always have to put the handbrakes up and say, is this the right way to reach people? And prayerfully go before God, talk to your team, process, and find out. Again, just like we're learning about Jesus every day, we need to be learning about culture and what the people in our area are dealing with. And we need to minister to them.
Yeah, exactly. That is literally that. The culture, trends, all those kind of things. And then you will know what's for you, because we're not all here to do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's not about us having to take on board everything, but even to have an awareness of what's going on and as to why certain things may impact, you know, what we're doing. We do need to be aware. So even a simple thing like, you know, when you take offerings, maybe at your church, no checks, you know, but then we might still be in the space of, oh, handing maybe the basket around, asking people to drop coins. And we're pretty much moving into a cashless society. So then you have to think, well, how would we get people to leave offering? You might need a card reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those little things as well. So that's even how the digital impacts those kind of things. Because when you pass the basket around and you're thinking, oh, no one's dropped any money, and it's like, well, I very rarely carry cash around anymore, unfortunately, but you know, because that's not something I'm proud of, but it is. So then we even had to say, actually, let's have a card reader, so that actually, if you want people to feel like they if they feel like moved, that they do want to be able to give, then we should be able to facilitate that as well.
Yeah, people use their phones to pay for everything these days. And so why they should be able to use their phones to pay offering as well. And it's not a weird thing. That's just how culture is these days. And you're right. I still have checks, but I don't carry cash around. So very rarely will I have cash around. So it's just kind of funny that way. Well, Vernette,
this is not going away, Tom, right?
I know. I am slowly moving to all digital payments. I am. It's just... You know, I'm 48 years old, and I would think that I would be able to transition to the digital payment easier, but not so much. So
I'm still, right. We love you. We'll take you. It's okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Vernette. Thanks. Well, Vernette, this has been fantastic. It's great getting to know you over the past few months, but also just great talking to you today. If people want to connect with you, how would they do that?
So I have my webpage. It's not a website yet, it's a webpage. So people can go to diggingint.digital. You can just type that in, or I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well. So people can either get me personally, as in if they do a search for me, Vernette John Joyles on LinkedIn, then I'm there for that. But on Facebook and Instagram, if you do a search for Digging Into Digital, I am there as well. And my email address is actually on my website as well, but I'll just cite it just in case. It's hello@diggingint.digital. So I'm pretty much open that if there are church leaders and so on that want to be able to have a chat, or if they want me to help them to start to facilitate things, to help them to train and to upskill, because I can do all of that as well. I'm pretty much open, and what I'm not able to help with, then I will do my best to even signpost as well.
Yeah. So if you missed those connections, don't worry. I'll have those links in the show notes. You can just click on the links and connect with her. She also does webinars. She doesn't have anyone planned up in the next month or so, but I bet you in 2024, things will come about.
Yes. I was doing this year, I've done a bunch of webinars and trying to take my own advice in terms of rest and actually pulling the handbrakes up. So I done my last one last week. So that will be it for me for 2024. But I'm still going to be present and active on the social, still wanting to be able to share some content in that format. Yeah. And also, I think there may be some things coming up where I might be doing like a couple of in-person things with some churches and things like that. Great. So just a webinar bit that I need to pull the handbrakes on. But we're getting down to the end of the year, Tom, and I don't want to start to show my age, you see. So that's why it's important.
Yeah, no, that's very good. I'm just a little sad that you're not on Twitter. So, you know, I'm a big Twitter guy. So, okay, you don't have to go any further than that.
You know that that's the monster, right? With Twitter or X. I don't know what Elon's doing, but that's another separate issue. But it just never took to me in that way, to be honest with you. But then that's the thing that I say to people, is that you have to find the platforms that work for you. Like, for example, I'm really loving the Digital Church Network on the app, on the Mighty app. I'm really enjoying that. That's a bit more, in terms of everything else I do, I think, that's nice. So that's a nice place in terms of seeing what people are doing. So, you can't be everywhere, I guess.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere. Yeah. It's just too bad you're not on Twitter. Anyways, okay. Just kidding. Vernette, it was great having you on the podcast. I will definitely have you on in the future as well. You've got a lot of great insights. People need to connect with you. So click on the show notes for the links and connect with her today. Vernette, I hope you have a great rest of your day and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. Take care.
Okay, so I just love talking to her because she's from the UK and she's got a great accent and she's got a ton of knowledge, and it's been great getting to know her over the past few months. Again, Jeff Reed connected us, and I was really excited about that because she's got a ton of great ideas and a ton of great resources. So if you've never checked her out yet, again, go to the show notes, click on all the links, and get familiar with her today. Start following her on all her platforms, even though she's not on Twitter. Follow her on all her platforms. She's got a lot of great resources. But what stood out to you? What encouraged you? What challenged you? What questions do you have? Put it in the comment section below, or you can hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder is my Twitter handle. I would love to carry on this conversation because, again, for us to be more effective as a church in today's world, we're going to have to fully embrace digital, and there's lots of different ways that you can do that. Again, you don't just have to stay in your lane. Let's start going over to where people are at right now and start working with them a little bit more. Again, it's not our ministries here. Let's talk about bringing our ministry as a whole. What are they doing that we can help support, and what are they doing that can help encourage us in the church? Again, there's lots of great ways for us to be relevant today in this digital and online world. So what stood out to you? Again, put in the comment section below or hit me up on Twitter. All right, heroes. Well, thanks so much for being with me again today. As always, if you like it, subscribe to it. It's on YouTube. It's on Apple, Google, all the different platforms. I would love for you to subscribe to it wherever you're listening to or watching this from. So please do that. And also, if you want to give me a rating or review, that would be awesome too. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, a great rest of your time. And until next time, have a great one.